Yeah. Pro Fan Sports Podcast. Let's get it. Pro Fan. Tune into the program. Every single week, get the dope, fam. Sean on the mic, Barry Flat, too. Keep you updated, that's what we do. Pro Fan. Tune into the program. Pro Fan. Tune into the program. Pro Fan. Tune into the program. Every single week, get the dope, fam.
Yo, what it do, everybody? It's your boy, John Altidore with Pro Fan Sports Podcast. Back at you with another one with my boys, Vlad, Barry, and today, somebody you guys probably see all the time every week. You know, you hear them on 98.5, the Sports Hub. You hear them on Patriots Press Pass with, I believe it's Evan Lazar, right?
Yep.
You know, every week they do post game. You know, I catch them on a breakdown. It's Alex Barth, man. How you doing, Alex?
I'm good. How are you guys doing?
Pretty good, man. Pretty good.
You're doing great.
Thank you for coming on the show. For real.
Yeah, thanks for having me, guys.
We appreciate it, man. No, it's like after all the Patriots games, I hop right on YouTube, and you and Evan are live, and I'm catching, you know, the breakdown and everything that's happening. You have some really good insights, and, you know, we're taking everything that you're saying and bringing it on our show and doing, you know, a bunch of stuff, man. So definitely appreciate content from Alex, for sure. So thanks for coming on.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, no, me and Evan actually just got wrapped up doing today's show, so people can go check that out. And yeah, he has more of the insight. I just kind of yell in my hands, but I appreciate you.
I don't know, man. You seem to have a lot of knowledge, you know, about the team and everything that's going on, man. So, you know, it seems like, you know, I mean, of course, we're talking Patriots, and it seems like every week, right, we're having the next biggest week of the season, right? So now we got the Colts coming on this week on Saturday the 18th, you know, and now that's the biggest game to see, you know, if the Patriots are for real. What do you think about this week's game coming up?
Yeah, I think it's certainly a big game. I think it's certainly a good measuring stick. Part of what's really interesting to me about this game is you talked about there's been, you know, it feels like every week, big game, big game, big game. Well, the Patriots played the Titans 2 years ago in the playoffs. They obviously are very familiar with the Bills. They haven't played the Colts since 2018, and that was a very different iteration of Colts now. So, you know, you can kind of go back to the Falcons game a little bit, and they talked about this before, the Falcons, of having to prepare for a team that you're not as familiar with now. The Falcons just aren't as good. The Colts have some real talent on both sides of the football. So I think that, for me, is because when every game is the biggest game of the week, you have to kind of differentiate them. And I think what makes this game really unique to me is there's a lot of unknown here. DeForest Buckner wasn't on the Colts the last time they played. Darius Leonard was an Indy, and he was a good player back then, but he was not the player he is now. On the offensive side of the ball, obviously Jonathan Taylor looks like a budding star. And then you have Carson Wentz. It's a whole new situation at quarterback. So there's a lot. It goes the same way for the Colts, right? The Patriots now have Mac Jones. They have Matt Judon, Christian Barmore, Ramondre Stevenson. So there's going to be a big sort of feeling out process game, and those games can get really interesting. So that, you know, overarching big picture to me, what am I looking forward to about this game? I think the unfamiliarity could make it really interesting.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like it's the unfamiliarity, but I feel like Colts team closely resemble our team, right? They have their quarterback that they're not really asking to do way too much. Carson's throwing it maybe like 20, 25 times a game, and then the rest is on Taylor, right?
Yeah, I think that's a really good point. And you look at it, the Patriots, I think stylistically, the Patriots and the Colts, what they want to do are very similar. And then schematically, they go about it very different ways. But you're absolutely right. There's this new mold of team being built in the NFL starting 3 or 4 years ago that teams are starting to realize that you don't have to risk drafting the athletic freak quarterback in order to succeed. Because for every Patrick Mahomes, you're going to get 20 Zach Wilsons. And I think teams are sick of taking that chance. And I think now what they're realizing is, hey, let's put that draft stock into other, you know, other high impact positions, offensive tackles, cornerbacks. Let's do that. Let's use that cap money we'd save from paying that quarterback. Let's build up the defense. Let's build up the offensive line and then just win low scoring ball control games. It's what the Patriots are doing, what the Colts are doing too. Now, beyond that, it gets a little different. The Patriots are a man offensive blocking scheme. The Colts run more zone blocking. On defense, again, the Patriots and Colts win up front, but they do so in different ways. So, you know, it's a really good point where the roster construction is very similar, and then it gets interesting because it's almost like they took, you know, you gave them the same ball of clay and they molded it in two very different ways. So But I think it is exciting in that, because I've been a big proponent of this for a few years, and I wrote about this when Brady left back in March of 2020, that this was going to be the blueprint Patriots. And I got a lot of heat at the time because, oh, you know, modern era of the NFL, you got to throw the ball 50 times a game. You got to have an elite quarterback. And that still helps, right? Having Patrick Mahomes, Aaron Rodgers, Tom Brady. If you can get that guy, you go get him. I still would take Trevor Lawrence, Joe Burrow first overall. But I think there's now this recognition, and you're seeing teams, whether it be the Titans, the Patriots, the 49ers, right? They were within two Kyle Shanahan mistakes of winning a Super Bowl like this. I think there's now this understanding that you can win and be competitive, not just win games, but contend for championships in the NFL without having that elite quarterback. And like you said, I think, example, these are two teams that are following that path and doing so relatively well.
Absolutely, man. You know, you're speaking of, I mean, what everybody wants their team to, right? They got the quarterback that's throwing it 50 times. And, you know, we just came off a game where, you know, we had a quarterback that's throwing,
different.
You know, a little different. You know, it hasn't been done in 50 years, throwing it three times, right? Of course, the weather had a lot to do with that. And now we're going into a dome, right? So outside, we had to worry about, yep. Of course, the wind, you know, the cold and everything like that. What do we have to worry about going into Indy, into the dome?
So I think, honestly, and look, this isn't to take anything away from the Colts, but as I'm doing my research today, Carl Cheffers was assigned as the official for this game. His crew calls the second most penalties of any crew in the league and the most pass interference calls of any crew. And this is something the Patriots will study and they will prepare for. They don't just prepare for the opponent. They prepare for all dynamics. So to me, that is almost like what the wind was last, because football is all about the elements and outside factors. And you're not just playing the team on the other side of you. You got to deal with the number of different factors. Bobby Okereke came out and said it today. They want Mac Jones to throw the ball. They're going to put the ball in Mac Jones' hands. And I would expect the Patriots have a similar plan in place for Jonathan Taylor and Carson Wentz, where they're going to try to make Carson Wentz beat them instead of Jonathan Taylor. So now here you have in a game where defenses are going to try to force the pass to the officiating crew that calls the most pass interference of any in the league. It's going to get really interesting. I think high level secondary play is very, very important this week. You know, you can't be too handsy, physical, and they have physical corners. Rocky Asin, and I like him as a player, but he's one of the more physical corners in the league. The game, where is that going to work against him versus a guy like JC Jackson, who's comfortable playing the ball without necessarily having a hand on the receiver, right? He's more of that Asante Samuel type, where he's fine being a foot or two away because he knows he can get a read on the quarterback, a read on the throw, and get himself in position. So, if you want to compare something this week to the wind, right? What is this week's wind? What is this week's third team? It's the officials this week. And that's not to say, you know, blame the officials or anything. It's just, it's a factor that I think both teams will acknowledge. And it's going to be interesting to see how that dynamic plays out throughout the game.
Yeah, that's pretty interesting.
Definitely. Yeah. And I think just not having the outside elements is going to be a very even game for both teams. Because last week, we were having conversations about last week, and I was saying, I don't know how much this game means to both teams. I mean, obviously, it meant a lot, but I don't know how much it was going to tell you about each team, just because there were so many other elements impacting the game. And obviously it told us that the Patriots could win so many different ways and without even using the quarterback. But I've been struggling all year long to really grab onto the team and believe in the team and believe that the team can be a top tier team. And I guess my question is, like, do you believe in this team? Do you believe this team can go the distance? Like, is this team gonna go to the playoff and get eliminated the first round, or win one game and eliminate the next round? Like, what do you think?
Yeah, I mean, it's tough to tell this year. Look, I think it's not unrealistic to think can win a Super Bowl, because there's no definitive favorite in the AFC, right? You can't show me an AFC team that you can say, you know, oh, they will beat the Patriots. No matter what, they will beat the Patriots. Patriots can't get past them. And then when you get to that final round, look, I really like the Cowboys. I really like the Packers. I really like the Rams. Obviously, the Bucks with Bucks. But you get to that final round, anything can happen. So that's kind of where I'm at with you know, them being a true contender. I wouldn't rule it out. Now, at the same time, I don't think the Patriots are necessarily definitively better than any of the top teams in the AFC, right? I don't know that they can for sure beat the Chiefs. I don't know that they can for sure beat, you know, the Chargers, I really like, right? That's kind of where I'm at with them. I don't know that they can for sure beat the Bengals, but I know that they have a chance to get all those against all those, at least 50-50. So, you know, I hate to kind of talk around your question, but I think a lot of it comes down to matchup conditions, right? Who do they draw in the first round? Do they draw Baltimore, a team that fell into a wild card spot because Lamar Jackson's hurt, but now all of a sudden he's healthy? Like, that's a tough draw, right? Do they draw Bills that now has seen them twice, and maybe Josh Allen's healthy and there's no win for that game? And it's, you know, let's say the Patriots do manage to win the Week 16 game. Really tough to beat a team three times in a season. It really is. It rarely happens. So, you know, do they get the Bengals? I think the Bengals are one of the more, you know, one of the biggest wild cards, pardon the expression, but one of the biggest wild cards in the playoffs, just because they're so talented, but they're so young that you don't know what you're going to get from them. So I don't think it's unrealistic to think they can win a Super Bowl. I don't think it's unrealistic to think they're one and done. I think a lot of it is going to be dictated by how the standings fall, what the matchups are, things like that, which is why, you know, the division, winning the division probably isn't just good enough, right? You win the division, you get a home playoff game, but that's pretty much it. I think that bye is massive, and especially the fact that there's only one of them now. So you could convince me either way. I think there's still a lot of football to be played before we can really answer that question.
You know, I completely agree with you. There's a lot of football to be played, and you know, the matchup against the Colts will tell us a lot. The next matchup against the Bills will tell us a lot. And with the matchup against Miami, I mean, Miami is looking a lot better after losing six games straight. I think they're looking so much better. And I honestly don't even know if we can beat the Bills on a even playing field, because I think if the Bills had gone ahead and scored a touchdown, would we have trust Mac Jones to throw the ball, you know? And I guess my question is, do you think we can beat the Bills on an even playing field?
What was that question again? You kind of cut out there.
Do you think we can beat the Bills on an even playing field?
Yeah, I absolutely do. I think, you know, when it comes to the question of, well, do they not trust Mac Jones to throw against that defense? I flip that into, well, what were the advantages of having him throw? And granted, if they trailed, then there's a clear advantage. And if they come out and then they run the ball, I think that's a red flag. Ultimately, we don't know what would have happened, but you're in howling wind. You have the lead. That Bills defense is pretty good, especially when it comes to defending the pass. I'm not really sure why Mac needed to the ball in that game. On a neutral field, it's close. I mean, it's certainly close, but you know, again, you can flip it and say, okay, well, the Bills couldn't beat the Patriots when they couldn't throw. Well, the Patriots couldn't throw either, right? The Patriots only show the Bills half their playbook. They still have a whole passing design that the Bills haven't seen. So again, it's not definitive. I can't sit here and tell you that the Patriots will be fine in week 16 against the Bills. That game last night, right against Tampa, even though they lost, I think the Bills got some
really good game
mojo back, but it's not definitive one way or the other. I mean, I think it was a really good game. I think the Patriots do have a good chance against the Bills on a neutral field. I think that they're relatively even teams, given some of the, you know, the Patriots probably have weaknesses than the Bills, but I think the Bills' weaknesses for what they are glaring. And they're very, very, I mean, they're not just weaknesses. They're, you know, their potential, you know, death traps that the Bills can fall into, the inability to run the ball, the inability to stop the run. The Patriots have some more issues, but they're more minor and they can kind of game plan around them. So I think a matchup like that comes down to coaching. I think the Patriots have the coaching advantage. So I think the Patriots have a slight edge, but again, it's slight.
Yeah, I think for me, I was very pleased and amused by the game plan that Bill put together. But at the same time, it wasn't enough of a margin for me to like be like, that was a great game plan. I think if anything had gone the other way, we could have lost that game very. But Barry,
yeah, sure. I definitely agree with that. Glad that, you know, the particularly in a game like that, the margin for error is really, really slim and really small, and that like the Patriots legit had to, you know, execute the game plan. You know what I'm saying? Like perfectly in order for them to win. That's, you know, obviously that we know they're a game plan oriented team, as they've been, you know, as long as Belichick coached, and certainly, you know, with the game plan that they had, they legit couldn't make, you know, any mistakes that, you know, were going to cost them a game. And luckily they didn't, you know, do that. And, you know, they executed, you know, well enough to win.
Made one.
But I think
it's the exception of that. Right. That was honestly, it was a mistake. The Bills obviously got a touchdown, you know, off of that, you know, Harry, you know, muff punt. But, you know, with the exception of that, you know, I'm talking about from a, you know, offense standpoint, you know, that I didn't really, you know, any mistakes, you know, that were made. And it's crazy because, like, I didn't realize, with all due respect to the Bills, I didn't realize how soft that defense was, particularly, you know, run the game. Like, I watched them play the Colts. I saw what Jonathan Taylor did to them and, you know, absolutely went off for 5 touchdowns and they had over 200 yards rushing, I believe, that game. And, you know, I knew obviously they could, Bajers were going to have success and, you know, be able to run the football really well against them. But who would have thought it would be to that, you know, extent that they did? So it was just like crazy to me that they were legit just attacked that, like Alex said, potential death trap. Like, that's not even a weakness. That's beyond. Attacked it all night and ran it down their throat. Now, I wanted to ask Alex, what are your thoughts on what you've seen from Mac Jones so far, and also how the coaches, particularly Belichick and McDaniels, have handled him, from the beginning of the season to, this point of the season right now?
Yeah, I mean, I like what I've seen from Mac Jones. I think for any rookie quarterback, you know, like a first-round rookie quarterback, I think the ultimate goal in year one, right, the ultimate box to check is just prove that you belong. Prove that you're an NFL quarterback, a starting caliber NFL quarterback. And, you know, I feel pretty comfortable in saying, and I think just about every Patriots fan is pretty comfortable saying that, you know, we're not going to have to dip back into the quarterback carousel, right? I don't think that we're, you know, I think the Patriots have their guy and, you know, at least through this rookie contract. So honestly, the fact he accomplished is that, in year one, for me, that's a win. Everything beyond that is just icing on top of the cake. And I think he's shown improvement, which is also important. You always want to see players get better. And he was clearly a little uncomfortable early in the season, right? Some of the turnovers, the fumbles, the interceptions, and some of that was the offensive line. But I think his cage got a little rattled, and credit to him. And some of this is the coaching staff too, that he got through it. They got him through it. He didn't develop any negative habits. And now everything's kind of coming together. I think the receivers have done a great job of working with him, specifically Kendrick Bourne. I think the chemistry those two have going back to training standing, really can't talk enough about what Kendrick Bourne's done for his team. But, and then how the coaches have handled it, I think it's the perfect example. You know, when we talk about quarterbacks in the draft, and I was guilty of this last year, just like everybody, I think we just like to rank, all right, who's your QB1? Who's your QB2? Like, which guy do you like the best? Which guy do you like the least? Who's the bust? And I think we leave out a very important part of the equation when we're projecting players, and that, you know, landing place is everything. Trevor Lawrence is incredibly talented. Like, he's a really good player, but he's in the worst possible situation. It's not that Mac Jones isn't talented. He's not Trevor Lawrence. I think he himself would agree with that, but he's kind of ended up in the perfect situation. It's nature versus nurture. And I think that the coaching staff has done a great job of not giving to Mac too much, but also, and some people might push back on this, I don't think they've held back on him too much. I think they've tested him the right amount, because if you baby him too much, he's not going to develop and you're not going to learn anything. Pushed him at times, mostly early in the season, maybe not as much late, but I think the Bucs game, the Cowboys game, they put a lot on his plate and he stepped up, and for the most part, he handled that. So this is, you know, is it the perfect rookie year? Maybe, I don't know. It's up there among the best ones. Andrew Luck comes to mind. Russell Wilson's comes to mind. But if you want to write a textbook on how to handle a rookie quarterback starting week one, this is it. The Patriots have written it. This is what you do.
Oh, for sure. Absolutely. I definitely totally agree. Those are really good, you know, points, things that you bring up, you know, with how the, you know, Patriots have handled, you know, Mac Jones so far this year, you know, and certainly think they've done it the right way to this point. And like you said, fit is like everything. Like, if you can have a great quarterback and, you know, who has all the talent, but if you don't, he's not in the right system and not in the right fit, doesn't have like the right coach, that's going to mess him up and, you know, put him in a position, setting him up to fail, not putting him in a position to succeed. I also wanted to ask, what are the chances of the Patriots getting the number ones in home field advantage in the AFC? What do you think about that?
I think they're pretty good. I think I saw last night they're like 47% right now, which is the highest in the AFC. You know, if they win this game and then they can take care of Buffalo, they should be in good shape. And I mean, those are tough games, but Jacksonville, I mean, I'm not Jacksonville. And even going to Miami at the end of the year, I'm not, you know, I'm that's not an automatic win, but I'm not overly worried about that. I think, again, you look at some of these other teams and you look at kind of how much parity there's been in the AFC. I mean, their biggest competition to me is the Chiefs, who are playing amazing football right now. Don't get me wrong, but they've got a really tough schedule here down the stretch. The Bills have a couple of more tough games, including the Patriots. That game's obviously going to tell us a lot. The Ravens have some tough games, and again, we don't know what's going on with Lamar Jackson. So I like the Patriots' chances. I don't love them. I like them. They still got to take care of business here. They got two big games coming up, but it's well within reach. I'm not going to fault them if they don't get it. I'm not going to say they blow it if they didn't get it, but it's certainly within reach. It's certainly a realistic possibility.
For sure. I was going to say, did you want to ask when I did have another one?
Go ahead, Barry.
So from, you know, pretty much the remainder of the season in particular, let's just say these next two games, since, you know, we just talked about how big, you know, these games and significant they are to the season in their playoff. What do you see from them, you know, from the Patriots that's going to make you that confidently and definitely say this team is a Super Bowl contender, this team can really go on a deep playoff run this year? What do you need to see from this team to be able to have more confidence in that?
So the turnaround, right, from the 2-4 start to the 7-game win streak, the biggest, starkest difference between those two stretches is the turnover. They're creating more turnovers on defense. They're not turning the ball over on offense. And so that I continue to see that. Continue to win the turnover battle, because that's the way this team is built. Kind of like I talked about earlier on, they don't have possessions to throw away. Every possession is crucial. The fewer possessions that happen in the game for both teams, the better, you know, the better that, the more that plays into the Patriots' hands. So I don't know if you're like looking for something new. I don't know that there's much new that I'm expecting to see. Maybe getting Jonnu Smith more involved would be the one thing, seeing if they can kind of get him more into the offense. But outside of that, I think the biggest thing here to look for down the stretch, how legitimate are these Patriots? Are they forcing turnovers on defense? Are they holding on to the ball on offense? If they can continue to do those two things, they can run with any team.
Yeah, I agree, man. I think, you know, when Bill was putting the team together, we spent so much money. You know, we thought that, you know, the guys that came in, it was going to take us a while, you know, gel, especially guys on the offensive side of the ball, you know, with playbook being, you know, as complex as it is. And then we had a guy like Kendrick Bourne come on the team, and I watched his highlights before he came on, and he's a happy-go-lucky guy. And to me, I'm like, these guys don't last very long when they come over here, you know. And he's played so well, and I feel like, is Kendrick Bourne like the best free agent receiver we've gotten since like a Welker and a Randy Moss here?
Yeah, I mean, he's got to be up there. I'd put him right there with, you know, Brandon Lloyd and Brandon LaFell. Those are kind of the guys I fall back on when you talk about, you know, the baseline. I thought those guys were good players, but I love KB. He's so fun to cover because, like you said, he genuinely enjoys what's happening. He's somebody that in camp, he told us that the playbook was a struggle for him, that he was having trouble picking it up, and he was really trying to put the work in, and clearly he's done it, right? He's been probably he's the top two free agent wide receiver this year. You know, I'm blanking on the other, but, you know, statistics put up massive numbers, and he's coming up in big spots, and I think he's developed into a much more well-rounded wide receiver guy. When they signed him, I was worried that, and not that he wasn't a good player, but I looked at it, I said, okay, so his player mold, right, his prototype, he's Jacoby Myers, and I just don't know that there's enough room for two of those guys in the offense. But now he's out here, you know, he's turning into a yards after the catch weapon, he's turning into a deep threat, and they've really just maximized what he can do. And clearly they saw something when they signed him. Like, I don't think this is an accident that he's come here and his game has just exploded. They saw this coming, they evaluated him, they realized they could turn him into this. You've done it. So I think, you know, he's not just for the production he's had, but from the player he was when he got to go from the player he was when he got here to the player he is now, that's you don't get many hits like that in free agency, where it's not just that he's good, but he's so much better than he was, right? You're talking about a guy like, you know, I'm trying to think of some of the other examples, players they've done this with, like Rob Ninkovich, right, was kind of just a journeyman player, and then he came here and he came this great pass rusher, right? Lawrence Guy would be another one who's just really elevated his game in New England. You know, I would use those two guys as examples. I put Kyle Vannoy is an excellent one. That's, he was,
there you go.
Yeah.
He was with the Lions.
Right. So they traded for him. Yeah. So, you know, he kind of falls into that category where it's not just they went out, they paid a good player, and he kept playing well here. They really unlocked Kendrick Bourne. And it's a 3-year deal. There might be more to go. They might be able to unlock him even more than this. So I think when you go back and you look at it, you know, you can't say anybody was a better free agency signing than Matt Judon, because he's just been so freaking good, right?
Ooh,
but, you know, Kendrick Bourne, I don't want to put Kendrick Bourne number two just because he's been as he has been. But, you know, if he's not two, he's 1B. And I think most years he'd be their best free agent signing. So, you know, you love what you've seen from him. And, yeah, he's a Matthew Judon shy of really being the home run. Maybe like dollar for dollar, pound for pound, he's the best signing. We phrase it that way because They opened up the checkbook for Matt Judon. But Bourne's been up there, too. Bourne's been excellent, a big part of what they do.
I think he's number two because I feel as though he's only been coming on late. And Judon's been doing it all year long.
Yeah, that's fair.
That's a good point.
Yeah, but he's right there.
But he's been pretty good. I agree. Yeah. He's been pretty good.
Another thing I've noticed is there's been a lot of Patriots guys talking about playoffs throughout the year, I feel like, you know, where before I really didn't see Patriots players talking about playoffs or position and seedings and stuff like that. Has Bill Belichick gotten a little soft this year?
I think it's how they're talking about it. I none of them are saying we're going to make the playoffs. This is what we're going to do when we get to the playoffs. I think some of it is like, you know, there was some, I think it was Devin McCourty last week said something along the lines of, we still got a lot of football left to play and we got to get things right now for a playoff push like that. Those kinds of things have always been said. Maybe the word playoff wasn't in there, but that idea of, you know, you want to be playing your best football when you get to January. And then I think some of it, I think, and Bill Belichick can read people really well. And I, at least from the outside looking in, I think what he's figured out, because it's the identity on, I think he's figured out that these guys really buy into the concept of big. I don't think it's an accident that we're hearing that every game is the biggest here. And to some extent they have been, but I think that, you know, if playing a game up as, hey, this game has major playoff implications, I think if playing that game up within the locker room and kind of thinking about it in that context gets them where they need to be mentally, why not? Right. They're not guaranteed. And that to me is where maybe I draw the line, but you know, every team's different. Bill will tell you that. And I think maybe in the past, just not even considering the implications of the game. And I could see that with how Tom Brady thinks. Not even considering the implications of the game, that was what they needed to do to get mentally right. Was this is the only game, and it's the biggest game because it's our game this week, blah, blah, blah. And there still is some of that. But I think, you know, with some of these new guys, Matt Judon's a guy who talks like this a lot. I think the concept of, hey, this is the biggest game of the year, I think they feed off that. I think that that's something that helps them get where they need to be. And for Bill, if that's what works, that's what they're going to do. Like, he's not afraid. Look at the game plan against the Bills, right? He'll break tendency. If it's going to help them win a game, he'll do it, whether it's calling 48 runs or whether it's allowing kind of a little bit of a mindset to talk about the playoffs. If it works, it works. If it wasn't working, I don't think you'd hear him talk. Like, clearly been working.
Yeah. Last question for me. Last game, you know, we saw Adrian Phillips go down, you know, and since then, I think he tweeted, thank you, God, or something like that. Any news on that? And how important is Adrian?
So news, not news. We asked Bill about that this morning, about him and Damian Harris, who also left that game early.
Yeah.
And Bill said, we'll see what happens. Generally, when Bill drops that line, it's trending in the positive direction. It doesn't mean that they're both fine and they're both 100%, but, you know, he'll sometimes tell us, oh, yeah, so-and-so. So I think with Adrian Phillips and with Damian Harris, I think at this point, no news is good news, and you just kind of move from that. Phillips is a tremendously important player, though. You know, he's their fourth most used defensive player. He does so many things defensively, and especially this week. I think this week is a huge week for both him and Kyle Duggar, who we're still waiting for an update on with his COVID situation. You know, because what the Colts want to do is you need to stop the run against Indy to win the game. So they want you to put your big run-stopping downhill linebackers on the field, and then they'll come out of play action and throw the ball on you when you're in a base defense. And the flip side of that is, well, if you go smaller, you bring extra defensive backs on, they'll just run over you because they're bigger and more physical. The Patriots have these two very unique players in Kyle Duggar and Adrian Phillips, who are safeties who can stop the run. They can stop the run better than most safeties in the game. And that might kind of be a kryptonite for the Colts when you look at it, you know, at least at eye level. Those are players that are going to give the Colts some pause. The Colts are really going to have to figure out what they want to do. Both of those guys are on the field and lined up in the box. So, you know, Phillips is a veteran leader for what he does. He's a tremendously important player to the team. But schematically, especially this week, I think we really see exactly the kind of dynamic he adds to the – if he plays. We'll see if he plays.
Fingers crossed. Hope so. We definitely need him out there. You said he's been a big-time player for defense and, you know, and for that secondary in the back end. Definitely has, you know, been balling this season, playing really well. So, no, and this isn't an important game, particularly of important, you know, matchup with, like you said, they really need him out there. So my last question is kind of like an open-ended question. Who do you have in your top five of all time? Who would be on that list?
Ooh, who do I have my top five Patriots of all time? So it's interesting because the Patriots have four different positions where they could claim to have the best player of all time: quarterback, guard, tight end, and kicker. So I guess I've got to go Brady. Yeah, I mean, Brady, Gronk, Hannah, Vinatieri. I mean, those are the fifth. Ooh, I mean, you go. I mean, like, Randy Moss is the second greatest receiver of all time, but a lot of that's with Minnesota. So, you know, if we're talking about just a one-year window, like 2007 Randy Moss, you know, he's on that list. If we're talking about career and guys who are actually here for a long time, I think, Andre Tippett. I don't know why I shouldn't have thought.
Andre, right. Again, Andre
Tippett retired. Andre Tippett probably retired 3 or 4 years before I was born. Granted, he lives in my hometown now. Shout out Sharon Mess. So I would go, I think, to four who are the greatest all time at their position: Brady, Gronk, Vinatieri, Hannah. And I'm not doing this in order. And then Andre Tippett would be my fifth. You know, he's maybe Lawrence Taylor away from being at the top of his as well.
Wow, I like that list. That's a great list, man. Very good. You got good variety in there. You pretty much, you know, covered everything, man. So, no, I'm glad you remembered, you know, the old guys and, you know, you know, new school as well and stuff. So, no, you definitely know your Patriots history, my man. I like that.
Last question.
I try.
Last question for me. Who's in the Super Bowl?
Who is in the Super Bowl? All right. I think ultimately, as much as I like what the Patriots are doing right now, the Chiefs have the best quarterback. And 9 times out of 10, that quarterback's there, especially when he's as good as Mahomes. And I like the Packers. The Packers were my preseason Super Bowl pick. I think, you know, they're all in. You don't know what the future's like with Aaron Rodgers. So I think we get a Super Bowl I rematch. Super Bowl we should have had last year. Chiefs, Packers, and I think the Packers beat the Chiefs. But I, you know, that AFC pick again, it's all up in the air. But I really like the Packers.
Wow. All right. So you think Aaron Rodgers is going to go to Super Bowl in his so-called last stand? And, you know, in last year in Green Bay, he takes them to all the way to LA and to SoFi for, you know, for the Super Bowl. That's crazy. That would be pretty insane if that happened. I mean, I don't know if that's going to happen, but what a storyline and, you know, headline that would be if, you know, that ends up being the case.
Yeah, I just think, you know, the Bucs are obviously great, but as we saw last night, their defense isn't what it was last year, and I think there's still, you know, inconsistencies with that defensive unit. I like the Cowboys, but they're not quite there. They're the Cowboys, right? They're close, but you're not going to pick the Cowboys to win the Super Bowl. And like I said,
accident
I really like...
accident waiting to happen. Exactly.
And like I said...
Stephen A. Smith said, they're an accident waiting to happen. Just wait.
Exactly. And like I said, I do like the Rams, but there's a lot of new pieces there. They've kind of struggled to incorporate some of these newer guys. Vaughn Miller, Odell Beckham. I don't know that they're... You know, they're great on paper, but the Packers, there's that it factor. There's that it factor. You know, it's not just Aaron Rodgers. Davante Adams is playing exceptionally well. They're going to get Jaire Alexander back here. You're right. I think, you know, Aaron Rodgers, I think he's so pissed off at the world that he's going to win a Super Bowl or die trying. So we learned our lesson with Tom Brady, right? If you see a quarterback that's that pissed off, he's going to do some damage. So I like Rodgers.
Quick prediction for this game. I don't know if you gave us a prediction for this Patriots and Colts game, but how do you see it playing out? Do the Pats win this game?
Yeah, I have the Patriots. I think it gets sneaky high scoring. I think you're looking at two teams built on defense, but I think that the things are going to open up. You know, both offenses had 2 weeks to prepare coming off the bye. I think the Patriots win, you know, by 7 to 10 points, you know, maybe get into the third. I don't know. I try not to do score predictions, but let's call it 31-25 Patriots. We'll go there. I think they put some points up in this one. I really do.
Okay. No, I like that. I can dig that.
Hey, man, Alex, man, it's been real talking to you. You know, if you're watching this program, make sure you're following Alex, that real Alex Barth on Twitter. You know, I love watching you. Like I said, you know, I'm going to keep watching you for breakdowns and post games of the game. So, again, thank you for coming on Pro Fan Sports Podcast. Really appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks for having me, guys. Anytime.
Absolutely, man. Have a good night.
You too.
Yeah, thank you so much, Alex. It was a pleasure meeting you, man.
Yeah, you too. This was fun.
Right. Hope to have you on again maybe for the playoffs or something. Right, right.
Absolutely. Just reach out. Let me know.
We'll do. Absolutely. Sounds good, cool. Man. You have a good night. Take care.
Have a good one,
Mike. You too, thanks.
Yeah, there we have it, man. You know, like I said, if you're still watching, make sure you're following Alex Barth at Real Alex Barth on Twitter, and I'm sure on, you know, on all the other platforms as well. Make sure you're following us. Make sure you're pressing that subscribe button, that share button, that like the video. You know, however way you got on here, make sure you're liking it, because somebody else like you might like the video as well. And please make sure you're following us on social media. It's at ProFansSports on everything except for Instagram. That's ProFans_sports. You know, so we're going to keep this thing going, keep having guests, and, you know, until the next episode, we'll holler at y'all. Stop.
Peace. Oh, and real quick, just want to give a quick happy birthday shout out to my man, John Altidore, man.
I forget.
I showed you, you know, that B-Day Loving and gave you a shout out. So I know
you appreciate got a, you, man.
Big birthday coming up this week. And, you know, just definitely wanted to, you know, wish you a happy birthday and hope, you know, have a great, you know, day and enjoy the, you know, the day and enjoy, another year to come, another year ahead. So.
Yeah.
When is the birthday? Wednesday?
It's tomorrow, man.
Tomorrow, wow.
Tuesday.
Tomorrow, there you go.
Happy early birthday.
Thank you, bro. Appreciate y'all.
I hope you turn out the joint, man. Live it up, right?
Yes, sir. Thanks, Barry.
Yeah, no problem. Anytime, man. Absolutely.
All right, we'll catch y'all, man, on the next episode. What's the next episode?
Ooh, who's going to be on?
No. What number is the next episode?
91. I think 91. This was 90.
Episode 91. All right, we'll catch y'all, man.
Yeah.
On the 91. So much, I don't even know.
Sir, I know, right, man. These numbers is going up. Just keep flying by. We'll be right back.